This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they have to.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, numbers game here on a Monday. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin alongside. And Kelly, this is coming through now on Front Office Sports Twitter machine. The 76ers are expected to receive 34 national TV showcases this season, which most allowed under the NBA's current rights deal. So they can't even put them. They can't even put them on TV any more than they are.
Oh,
34 different times for Philly this season.
I feel like I was one of the few that was kind of applauding Adam Silver for just coming out and saying the obvious thing of like,
too.
We need LeBron to figure this out so we could book TV. But I don't know if I knew they were going to be maxing out the TV.
They maxed it out. Apparently 34 national games for the Sixers. I mean, listen, you got to do it. It might be his farewell tour.
Who are you putting on Christmas?
The Sixers play the Sixers. They're going to play each other. They just play each other.
I think it's got to be Celtics. Like, I think you throw the LeBron out, right? I actually find this to be a very interesting conversation. I actually think the Jaylen Brown verse returns to the Celtics storyline for a day can overtake LeBron James.
Okay. It could be
otherwise it's Sixers-Knicks, Sixers, Lakers.
I mean, it certainly matters, up there. Certainly matters up there. So, yeah, it'll be fun, but apparently they're going to max them out. I guess I couldn't expect anything different. I mean, milk it for what it's worth.
I was talking to Chris Foss, who does our audio before the show. I'm like, we need to start saying it like this, too. Like, Boston, you basically traded Jaylen Brown and LeBron James for Paul George. Like, that's kind of how this ended up working out. So you better take care of business this year.
Well, for those that worry about load management, that's at least 34 games that LeBron's going to play. So there you go. There's 34 games.
Mark your calendars now.
Yeah, at the very least. Now joining us here on the guest line, Greg Peterson. You know him. You love him. You see him every single day over on VSiN.com at GUN_81. Over on the Twitter machine. Greg, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, and we always love maxing out some people for TV and getting the maximum out of you, Matt. That is tremendous.
Look at that, Greg Peterson. Flattery will get you everywhere, Gregory. So keep on with it, my friend. Let's get right into your first play here. I'm actually on this one just in a different fashion. I ended up playing the over in this one, but you are Merrill Kelly versus Mitch Keller here with the Diamondbacks and the Pirates. You're going to side with the with Keller here.
Yep, and I'm in on the over as well. So we are both simpatico on that as well. And for Mitch Keller, it's been a little bit of a rough year, 4.90 ERA, but the fielding dependent does point towards a little bit of positivity. He's giving up about 1.1 home runs per 9 innings. And for Merrill Kelly, there's not a lot pointing towards positivity here. Less than 6 strikeouts per 9 innings. ERA above a 5. He's giving up 1.9 home runs per 9 innings. So things have been all sorts of brutal there. For the Diamondbacks, this is just not the same offense that they were a season ago as well. They are a team that's in the bottom half of the big leagues in terms of run creation away from home. But the Pirates, they average nearly 5.6 runs per game at home. Even with O'Neill Cruz being out for as long as he has been, they've been able to get these guys like Brian O'Hearn company going as well. Jake Magnum has been hitting like a 300. Pirates have been really good with that offense at home. Bullpen's a little bit shaky, but I think that they get to Merrill Kelly and get the job done here. So I like the over, and I do like the Buccos here on the money line.
All right, like it, Greg. Moving on down the board with you. One more side. You're looking at Nationals at home today against Scherzer and the Blue Jays.
For Max Scherzer, he should have probably retired after about a year or two ago. Like, I have no idea why he's currently on a big league mound. 10.29 ERA, and he has not pitched in the last month and a half. Like, this is just rough, to say the least. He's giving up 3.7 home runs per 9 innings. I think that there was some sort of a strikeout milestone that they wanted him to get to, and I think that he got there, but hasn't really gotten a lot of strikeouts this year either. And for the Washington Nationals, they're number one in terms of run creation as well. Now, they did trade Curtis Meade away over the weekend, so that hurts them a little bit, but you still have C.J. Abrams, you still have James Wood, pair of guys with 25-plus homers, pair of guys that have been absolutely, Luis Garcia and company. All these guys have been absolutely tremendous for this team. So I think that the Nationals do a tremendous job in terms of getting to Max Scherzer and company. And for the Blue Jays, I had to do it. They're dead last in the big leagues in terms of run creation. So getting the Nationals at -125, I'm in on the money line.
You know, maybe Max Scherzer's the data supermodel, because like Verlander hung him up and it's like, oh, but he's going home to Kate Upton. So maybe it's a little easier to hang him up if you're dating a supermodel. So maybe just for all athletes out there, it will be easier to retire maybe if you date a supermodel.
It kind of feels like a good strategy for anybody. If you can achieve it.
This is true. It feels like a good strategy. You know what? Kids, grow up to date a supermodel. There you go. That's now your goal here as we move forward in life. All right, Greg. We got Martin Perez versus Zach Thornton. By the way, don't put an H on the end of Zach. He wants to get rid of that H on there. It is the Braves and the Mets. How are you looking at this one?
Zach with a C on the back half of it, and I see an over here. Because with Martin Perez, he's not really getting a lot of strikeouts. 6.9 strikeouts per 9 innings, but neither is Zach Thornton. It's been a nice small sample size for him. He's made 4 appearances, about a 1.91 ERA, but 6.6 strikeouts per 9 innings. Going up against Braves team that's in the top 5 in the big leagues in terms of run creation away from home, just a little bit below 5 runs per game away from home. Drake Baldwin has really picked it up, by the way, ever since the All-Star break. Had a little bit of a rough go of it when he was coming off the injury list initially. He's back to being at full force. And for the Atlanta Braves, I do like them here on the money line as well, because with the New York Mets, want to talk about a team that's floundering right now and has been all season long. That'd be the New York Mets. But for the Atlanta Braves, I do think that they give up some runs here with Martin Perez, even with Juan Soto out. Like, with Juan Soto out, that makes it a roll of the dice with this New York Mets lineup, but they have been able to get back Francisco Lindor. Carson Bench has been able to give you a bit more as well. And we're noticing that the Mets are starting to toilet bowl with that bullpen as well. So, like the over of 8 and the Braves here on the money line.
Okay, I like it, Greg. Moving on, we've got Yankees and White Sox. Freed on mound for the Yankees. They're be about -145 favorites heading into Chicago tonight. White Sox about +125 to +130 on the comeback here. Total set 8.5. Where are you looking on this game tonight?
And I do love fading these teams coming off of Sunday Night Baseball. Couldn't quite do it with the Phillies because the Miami Marlins have quite literally won as many games as the three of us since the All-Star break. That would be 0, but that said, I was able to do so here with the Chicago White Sox, and I like the under. Max Fried actually looked really good in his first start coming off the injury list. Gives up 1 hit, 5 shutout innings against the Pirates, so you love that, but what you don't love for the New York Yankees is over the last 30 games, they're averaging about 3.3 runs per game. Like, they are really missing Aaron Judge right now. Ben Rice has been good. Ben Rice has been able to give you home runs, and Paul Goldschmidt seems to be picking it up a little bit. But these mix and match guys like Yasan Dominguez and company that I was very excited about, well, they are not rewarding that excitement right now. And for the Chicago White Sox, bullpen has actually been much improved. Since June 1st, they've been a top 8 team in terms of bullpen ERA. Yankees have actually been number 1 in that time span. Like, the Yankees have been tremendous with their bullpen. Fully recognize that they had to utilize quite a few arms because Will Warren did not give the start that we were all desiring on Sunday Night Baseball. But that said, I do like the under here, and I went with the Sunday Night fade. I'm going with the White Sox on the money line.
Look at that. Backing Schultz, despite the fact that he has looked about like me trying to pitch left-handed since he's been out there. Listen, he's a big prospect. He might be able to right the ship here. So, Greg, before you came on, I want to let you know we got some Texas Roadhouse slander in here.
Yeah, we did.
Small criticism, which was the food was great. The food was great, but 10 plus baseball games are on, and Texas Roadhouse didn't have a single one of the bar TVs on any of the baseball games. Greg, how can you let this happen? You with the inside, like, you have got a track to talk to these people. You corporate knows who Greg Peterson is. How are you not saying, guys, we got to have the baseball games on?
I do not know what location this was at. Like, how do I correct the problem if I don't know what location this is at? Because he mentioned it. Texas Roadhouse has hundreds and hundreds of them. If I knew what one it was, I would put in there a polite reminder being like, hey, Texas Roadhouse, we all love our sports here. Let's make sure we get the baseball games on. And if you can't get the baseball games on, get on the Baseball Betting Show wherever you find podcasts to be able to help the good people.
Man, look at that plug. Look at that plug. Man, it has been, Mike Palm has been coming on VSiN for I don't know how many years now and talking about active content management and how important it is. It does pain me when I see things like that, right? It doesn't matter if you're at the gym, at a sports bar. You can't just have TVs. You got to have TVs and be changing them. You have to be changing them. You can't just put them on one channel all day and let it go.
The onus falls on the manager. Like, the manager manager needs to have that as just part of their checklist,
right?
Which
yes.
is like every hour on the hour, just look up at the TVs and make sure there's something on. Yeah. Like that's all there is.
And if you have a go-getter like Rob Moreno, who's just going to do it himself at a Chili's, like good for him. But that, you know, it's got to be on the manager. It's got to be on the man. Greg, real quick, I want to ask you about the running challenges. These have gotten out of control, by the way. I literally watched a video of yes. you run 12 miles in your apartment last week. I need to know how this got started. How do people submit ideas for you?
Absolutely. Well, I've done 12 plus miles a day every day for 3,000 days. I have talked about this on this fine program. It's something that I started out of, honestly, necessity when I was in Portland, Oregon. I had to jog to and from work in order to be able to get around because it saved me money on the bus pass. I don't forget where I came from, so I keep on running every single day. If you have a challenge for me, at GUnit_81 on social media, Twitter/X, TikTok, I actually do these challenges as well. Like, the good people at home made me listen to country music on my jog yesterday. That was one of the most difficult challenges ever. Modern day country music. Wow. Not for me. Jogging is for me, though.
3,000 days of 12 miles. If you're wondering, that's you can do the math there. It's 36,000 miles. Your lease is up. You gotta trade it in, buddy. I mean, that's 36,000 miles. Let's look at Greg doing this.
A lot of LeBron talk, man. LeBron James has not done that. He's not done that.
Yeah, this is true. You know what? Every single athlete that we've talked about today has not done, what Greg Peterson has done. So
yep.
I will tell you this. You're about to get some weird requests because I'm going to make sure that that gets done.
Yeah.
Me and Kelly.
He ran 12 miles in his apartment.
Kelly are about to get weird like over the next few days. We're going to send you something that'll be amazing. Greg, appreciate the time, buddy, as always.
Always fun. Thank you, guys.
When we come back, the AFC West, we get the big news that, yes, Patrick Mahomes is good to go. What does that mean from their betting odds?
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ideas already floating around here is what we're going to do with Greg Peterson. He wants to do weird running challenges. Well, guess what? I'm your guy.
Text him.
I'm coming. Yeah, I'm your guy. I'm coming up with some weird ideas. Don't worry about it. We're going to mix some Texas Roadhouse in here some way, shape, or form, and the running challenge. But we're getting logistics down right now. We're going to figure this out.
I'm just enjoying the simple text. Is how far away is a Texas Roadhouse from you? Because I'm going to guess the first thought is, oh, those guys want to come eat with me. No, I just want to make you run there, Greg.
Or something. So we need to know just the distance so that we can figure out amazing here. Has he run backwards yet?
Yeah, I actually think that was one of them. I think that was one of them.
Okay.
There's been some bad ones too out there. Like, hey, everybody, do better. You can do better. So, like, there was one where, like, he had to wear two different shoes.
Yeah, whatever.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
It wasn't even
that.
Like two different styles of shoes. I thought it was going to be like a loafer and like a sneaker or something. It was just two different sneakers.
Just two different sneakers. There was a prop bet at the World Series of Poker about a decade ago, maybe even a little bit longer. You remember Antonio Esfandiari?
No.
So he was called.
Greg says 12 minutes away. But what does 12 minutes mean in Greg time?
Say distance. No. Not 12 minutes, like distance, miles wise.
I just assume the kid runs everywhere. So, like, is that like 12 minutes by car? Why would you put things like that?
So Esfandiari was the guy that was known as the magician. You remember, like, he would do the magic tricks on WPT and stuff like that?
Okay.
He won
a couple of WPTs. Yeah.
So they made a prop bet that for the entire day at the World Series, he had everywhere he went, he had a lunge. So it was walking lunges.
Oh, that's a great one.
Everywhere that he went. And if you remember when the World Series was at the Rio, it was way down that convention hall. And if you needed to go to the bathroom, it was a long way. And if you needed to go eat, the restaurants were way over in the main part of the Rio and all stuff like that. He broke down like 7 hours in, just broke down. Couldn't do it.
Just for the like actual leg strength, the exercise of it?
Just legs just completely gave out. So he sat there through one of the breaks at the main event just because he didn't want to go to the bathroom, and like he just held it until he was just about to die. Because he didn't want to like do the walking lunges, and then he's on his way and then just collapsed on the next one.
That's a good one. What was our last time at Rio? Maybe you've been there since then. Remember?
No.
We had that good. We had the good hookup and the tier matching from Rio. That was nice. Shout out to Rio. Yeah. And then the you were there with me for the Star Trek convention, right?
Yeah.
The Star Trek convention. That was like 1,000 people in Star Trek.
Actually have spent a decent amount of money on the Rio.
They were partying, man. That was
like, remember, like we went in there, we were kind of like, oh, I remember this place being much worse than it is. Like,
yes.
It was like they had obviously replaced like the carpet and stuff and whatever. All we're saying is, hey, it's not as bad as maybe that you think if you go over there.
We had a good time.
So the AFC West is a super competitive division that I think a lot of hot takes are going to come out of this division, Kelly, because people are going to...
Raiders winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, other than that. But I do think that the other three teams are all going to really, really spark a ton of debate, and probably as they should. I mean, when you take a look at a division that includes the Broncos that played very, very well, that includes the Chargers that played, you know, listen, at times played very, very well, and then, of course, the Chiefs that has the potentially the greatest quarterback of all time, you're going to get a lot of varying opinions. That said, that quarterback is coming back off of a major injury. You have the Broncos, in which their quarterback is coming back off of injury. And then you have the Chargers that is kind of that team that's lurking out there that maybe I don't think people are realizing exactly what they are getting back this year. Like I said, Raiders are, I think they'll be a fine story in maybe 2 or 3 years if Mendoza plays out. But they're a non-factor this year. They're a non-factor this year. So you look at this 5.5 win total, 20-1 just to win the division. I think that's all correct. You know, the only thing I would say is Kirk Cousins might mess around and win a couple of games for this team. If you're betting an under, just understand, I don't think this is the Mendoza show from day one. I actually think this is probably going to be Cousins as long as they can get by with Cousins being the dude.
All right, I think you just answered the question I would have for you. But if you had to bet over-under on this win total, where are you going?
It would only be over.
I'd have to bet over, too.
Because I do believe that they are going to try to take the approach of going with Mendoza at the last available opportunity to do so. Because, listen, they know as an organization they're not going anywhere this year. They see the three teams on top of them in this division. They understand they're at least a year or two away from even being able to compete for a playoff spot. And so what is the point in throwing your number one overall pick out there just to get pummeled and potentially lose confidence, potentially whatever, especially when you have at least a capable backup that can be that bridge to him? But they are also one of these teams that have a super late bye, so you could even target kind of like a week 13 type deal to start Mendoza. Then he gets a handful of games under his belt and then goes into the next year as the starting quarterback. But I think that this is a into October, if not November, type situation for Kirk Cousins, so long as he is not just an absolute train wreck out
there. I think you're probably right. And it does. I think you just have to, you have to be real with yourself of where are you at in this division for the next couple years, not just this year. But I think that's why they brought Cousins in. I think you're right. I think that now that we see him in with the team, Mendoza in, everybody's happy playing together and practicing together and going to be. How you started out.
Yeah, and the other thing just about this is you're also throwing him out there. I mean, your receivers are like Thornton and Naylor and Tucker and stuff. And you got Brock Bowers, who's awesome. But I mean, outside of that, you're also throwing your rookie quarterback out there with a receiving core that is like, seems like it's UFL level or US. What is that league now?
UFL.
It's UFL. Yeah. UFL level. I mean, I don't think you want that for him either. So,
yeah, I think the win total question's been interesting all offseason, because I mean it is, there are Cardinals, Dolphins, Jets, Browns on this schedule. Like, if I had to bet one way, it would be over. It would not be under.
Well, and you look and like, yes, it's not a good defense, but there are pieces on that defense. And like Max Crosby, by the way, still is going to suit up for, as far as we know, in silver and black. So I mean, he's going to be out there. Stokes at corner.
Does it not feel like we've heard too, like, how have we not heard anything more on that?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of odd, isn't it?
Right? Like, it feels like
hey, we shipped you out of town, but never mind. Come on back. Everything's great. Everything's great.
Has there been more, like, retrying behind the scenes to get him out? Like, that was all very odd to me that he just came back and we're just all going to move on and be
and never
okay.
bring it up again.
Never
to
bring
be
it up.
Spoken of again.
Yeah, very odd. Very odd.
So that's kind of my thought there on this team. The Broncos are dealing with the injury to Bo Nix and him coming back and all that. I will say... This, you know, I like to be right. Sometimes I'm wrong. I thought Bo Nix, watching him in college, I thought he would be a below average NFL quarterback, if not a bad NFL quarterback. So far, what Bo Nix has shown me that he's at least competent and capable. And I don't think that there is I don't think that he's hit a ceiling yet. I think that there's probably at least a little bit left in the tank. And then you look at what he's got now, you bring in Waddle. So now it's Sutton and Waddle to throw to.
Yep.
For him there, and your third slot receiver probably going to be Pat Bryant, which now he doesn't have to play a wide receiver two role. He can move into a slot role, which is probably way, way better for his skill set and all of that. You've got a good offensive line. I mean, I do believe that there is potential for this team yet again. That defense didn't fall apart. That defense that was awesome last year basically is all back. And as long as Bo Nix does take that step, right? And I don't know if you think he will or not, but as long as he does take that step, I do believe that this is a real team. I do believe this is a team that can make some noise.
Yeah, it's this is another one of these divisions that's just brutal. Just another year and it's brutal and it's tough to really figure out, I think, mm-hmm. who's going to emerge from this as division winner. But man, this is Broncos. We got a lot of high floor teams in the mm-hmm. NFL this year, and they are one of them, if not the biggest one at the top. I'm with you. I may not even be the biggest Bo Nix guy, but like the weapons are great. Like I think adding Jalen Waddle, I'm already a big Cortland Sutton guy. Mm-hmm. Add Waddle, Sutton, and Franklin. I think you got a great group of receivers. Evan Ingram there. That's fine. The defense is just that good. The defense raises you to an elite team.
Exactly. And again, like we always say, the PFF grades aren't end all be all, but they're at least a guide as to kind of where these players were, whatever. It was the number 4 graded left tackle in all of football that he's got. It was the number 1 graded right guard
yep.
in football that he got. It was a top 10 center that he has. So, like, you have an offensive line that can protect you. You have multiple weapons at receiver. I don't care what you really think of the running back situation, whether you think that Harvey is good or not. I mean, again, we've seen situations work with running backs that we mm-hmm. think are maybe middling, you know, so long as you have the pass game. And like you said, this defense is not going anywhere. There are guys at every level. There are guys in the secondary. There are guys on the line. There are guys at linebacker. I mean, this is just defense full of dudes. And so if you look at this and it really is going to come down to Bo Nix and the health of Bo Nix and what you think about Bo Nix.
Yeah, this is a circle your calendar one for me, right? This is mm-hmm. you start off the season with Chiefs, Jags, Rams, 49ers, Chargers, Seahawks. Might be waiting a while, yep. but that's October 15th. I would rather see them get by all those teams and then look at it over then.
Guys, don't take our word for it. You can go in, get our NFL guide. You can see what everybody thinks about this, not on this team, but this division as well. VSiN.com/subscribe, $175 now until the end of the Super Bowl. Every single thing we do, not just pro football, but basketball, baseball, and everything in between. You get that over at VSiN.com. When we come back, we will continue this discussion about that Chiefs team and getting Patrick Mahomes back. Some unfortunate news coming out as well as we've been on air. And then what do we think about this Chargers team? I think there's a gain that they got in the offseason that a lot of people aren't talking about.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN, Matt in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin alongside us. We're sitting here talking about the AFC West. The Raiders, I think, a little bit of time before they're going to actually make it. So you and I on the same page there on that one. I think that the Broncos are certainly an intriguing and interesting team. I would like to know what the exact health situation is for Bo Nix. But
yeah.
we like their weapons, for sure.
We do.
And we like their defense.
We do. It does feel like that's just kind of the story with all these guys coming back from injury this year, that everything we've heard so far sounds very positive. I guess that should at least be noted still. For me, it's still mm-hmm. a note, right? Of like, Bo Nix, like, I'd still like to see more. I'd still like to see more out there.
There hasn't been a ton of stuff come out about him, and so we'll see how that plays out. Now, we are going to continue on here with the AFC West. We get to the Chiefs and just some news coming out. This is not necessarily a betting nugget, but you know, we report on some news mm-hmm. here as well. And if we're going to be talking about the Chiefs, we might as well bring this up.
Yeah, absolutely. This is wife of Kansas City offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy shot by the couple's son Sunday night at the family's home in Virginia. That is according to ESPN, them reporting that here this morning. The story kind of continuing to develop. Mia Bieniemy, 57, hospitalized in stable condition, according to ESPN. So something that will be developing throughout this morning. Just a tragic story on the heels of a busy news weekend for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes, because we did get cleared for Patrick Mahomes to go in and participate in all football activities. And I thought that was kind of a giveaway whenever they did the schedule release. And yeah. There is just absolutely no way that they were going to put the Chiefs in a marquee game in week number one if Patrick Mahomes wasn't going to be back. And so I'm guessing that the NFL already knew this, and that's the reason that the schedule played out the way that it did. But official, as you and I talk about all the time, sometimes things need to be officially official. So it is officially official that he is going to be able to be out there with his teammates. And, you know, I've always said this, potentially maybe the greatest quarterback that we've ever seen. We'll see how it all plays out, and we'll see where the career ends up with all of that, Kelly. However, there are some things about Patrick Mahomes that make Patrick Mahomes Patrick Mahomes. That weird escapability, that weird weird ability to go and pick up a first down on third and four and third and six and things like that whenever a pocket collapses. And I don't know if this injury is going to affect any of that. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes is not going to look like 100% of Patrick Mahomes, but it is at least something to consider whenever we try to handicap this team, because getting those extra first downs, getting those extra yards, getting that extra time to throw and do the circus throws that he's able to do because he's able to buy time, if that is affected even in the slightest amount, well, then that does make Patrick Mahomes at least a little bit more human than the superhuman that he's been.
Yeah, definitely. I thought this was a great write-up in the NFL betting guide over at VSiN. Go check it out. I thought some great points made here. I believe this was Steve Mackinnon wrote this one up. Mm. Mahomes on the decline, question mark? This defense on the decline, question mark? Kind of the numbers over the past couple years would tell you it's kind of moving that way. And while I think Patrick Mahomes is awesome and one of, if not the best quarterback in the NFL, like all we've seen over time here is more and more weapons leave this team on the offensive side of the ball, them have to reorganize things on the defensive side of the ball. I think in a very tough division, there are some tough questions for the Chiefs this year.
Yeah, remember Bieniemy coming back now to mm-hmm. be the offensive coordinator, taking over for Nagy there with this. And you look, they do bring in Ken Walker at running back. And whether you think running backs matter or not, I can tell you they have been lacking in that department yes. for a few seasons now. And so Ken Walker can only be an upgrade, because this was look, Pacheco, he was good for a season and a half, but that angry running ended up just not actually playing out for the long term there. For that, they go out and they draft Mansoor Delane, cornerback out of LSU with their number one overall pick. They get Peter Woods as well from Clemson at pick number 29. So you get a defensive lineman and a corner. I think that is also telling as to their strategy, as to what they feel like they needed to work on more, specifically probably being in the division that they're in. We talked about the added weapons for the Broncos. You talk about that you have Justin Herbert inside that division as well, with him playing as well as he is. And so they go out and make the focus there on the defensive side of the ball to go along with at least a defensive line that should be able to create a little bit of pressure with those edge guys and Karlaftis. And of course, you still have Jones on that line. So it's not like I think that this is going to be a precipitous fall or anything for this team. And I don't think that we're going to look up and it's like, oh, the Chiefs have a losing record or anything, Kelly. But I do think that there's a world that exists where this team looks a lot more mortal than the immortal teams that we have seen, you know, that we've come to grow and love from this team over the last decade.
Yeah, agreed. I did like the additions in the draft. I think those were two positions you needed to address. 18th rated pass rush over at mm-hmm. Pro Football Focus last season. I think especially what you've seen with what the Broncos are putting in front of you, and then a healthy offensive line returning for the Los Angeles Chargers, got to be able to get after the quarterback. So I think Woods was a good pick by them. And I'm never going to count out Patrick Mahomes, man. I think this is going to be interesting to see what this season turns into for them in another year where it's a very competitive AFC.
The Chargers, and I'm glad that you brought up kind of what I was talking about here in the tease, which is One of the big things that we forgot about was that they lost Rashawn Slater early on in the process last year. And with that, they had to move Joe Alt to the left tackle position. He's a right tackle. He's playing out of position. Then you're looking up and Justin Herbert's running for his life on, you know, every other dropback basically last season. Well, Slater will be back. You get to move Alt back over to right tackle where he wants to be. You got a good center in there. Now, the guard position is a little shaky, but if three of the five, maybe it's more of a sum of the parts type thing for that offensive line. What do you believe in the wide receiver core? And that's basically what this comes down to. I don't think anybody questions Justin Herbert. I don't think anyone questions what we saw out of Amarian Hampton at running back. I don't think anyone questions that at all. But do you believe that this receiving core is going to be good enough for Herbert and them to compete against a defense like we're going to see out of the Broncos, this kind of new look defense we might see out of the Chiefs here? And that is my big question with this Chargers.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think that if you were to tell me you added one good receiver to this team, it probably would be pushing the Chargers over the top to my division pick.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it's still just lacking there, right? And I know I'm always the guy who's killing Justin Herbert, but it's just more about, hey, let's keep him real and keep him accountable for what he does in the playoffs too. And it hasn't been a lot of success, but man, there's not a lot of weapons for him to feel comfortable with out there, at least high level enough weapons for us to expect this to be one of the best teams in the AFC. Man, is everything going to click on the defensive side of the ball when Jesse Minter moves on? How much of an impact does Mike McDaniel make there on the offensive side of the ball? We've seen that guy do big things before with little-known weapons and well-known weapons, too. So maybe this isn't as big of an issue. But, man, I think it's going to be a wait-and-see approach for me, Matt. But I think there's a lot of reasons to like this Chargers team once again this year.
I think that McDaniel is a legitimate superstar when it comes to a coordinator position.
I understand
it didn't work out as head coach, but listen, we've seen that before in the NFL. Some guys just aren't meant to stand up there in front of the whole team and command the respect and do the different things that a head coach basically sometimes as a figurehead position, right? I do think from an X's and O's perspective, and I do think from a, hey, let's get creative with one of the better arms in all of the NFL type situation, that McDaniel can do some special things with this team. But again, you're throwing a Quentin Johnston, Ladd McConkey, and Trey Harris. Now, all three of them in their own individual bubbles were all highly regarded at one point by his draft scouts and all. Then you and I are not talent evaluators and all that. Maybe it takes a guy like McDaniel to come in and actually unlock the potential of these dudes. The only problem is we've not seen it with our own eyes, which is why, like, it's kind of a wait and see for me.
Right,
I haven't seen it with my own eyes, and so until I do, I can't fully buy in.
And then the problem is, okay, McDaniel comes in. I'm very high on McDaniel too, but I'm very high on Jesse Minter. So like Minter exits, what is this defense left with now, right? And I think there are fair questions here of, okay, Khalil Mack, Derwin James, like, these are names, and it sounds great, and I think they still have an ability to play to a very high level, but, like, we are getting a little further on in some of these guys' careers. Are they going to be able to keep rolling out there and doing it every single year? I think it's fair questions for that. I think this is, it's going to be a wait and see for me. Really, on all these teams in the AFC West. Wouldn't be shocked if any of them are one of the teams to beat in the AFC.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. Let's just play a what if. What if I gave you the 300 Matt Bucks and you had to bet one of these teams to win the division?
I'm going Broncos then because you're giving me the highest floor team, one of the highest floor teams in the NFL.
So I am as well. Specifically given the price attached at the +225, I don't think the gap between them and the Chiefs and the Chargers, and honestly, I think the Broncos might be the best team right now as we step into this season. And so I actually think there's a little bit of value there on them at the +225, given the other numbers, +160, by the way, on the Chiefs and +190 on the Chargers. They're the third shot, and I don't think that they are very far off from either one of those teams, if not the best of the three.
I completely agree. I would probably have them a little bit better than the other two right now. So, yeah, I do like that. Hasn't been – not a bet for me. Not sure if I'm going to get there, but that would actually be – of everything on the that we just showed you at home, if you're watching at home, of all the betting options in this market, it probably would be a division play on the Broncos for me.
Let's go ahead and end this with some fun facts here. We just had Greg Peterson on. He said he is 3,000 days in of running 12 miles per day.
Mm-hmm.
If you were wondering, the Earth's circumference is about 25,000 miles. So Greg has run around the Earth over the last 3,000 days.
Oh, not more than once? I was expecting you to say like twice or three times.
Plus 10,000 miles. I mean, like, you know, it's about 25, plus 11,000 miles. Yeah, so he's made it about a time and a half around planet Earth.
You go, Greg.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game here on a Monday. We get some people chiming in here. Bar TV Management, Kelly Bidlin. He says, I love watching reruns of Impractical Jokers on True TV in March.
That. Yeah. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yes. Yep. It's like the television management there. And then also, Jason chimes in and says, like, thanks. He wants to thank Greg for defending Texas Roadhouse. And this is coming from a Texas Roadhouse manager. Said that is part of the responsibility. But he said also you got to remember that there could be some blackouts and things like that in various locations and all of that. So that at least keep that in mind. And comes to find out.
Man, what a good boss.
Comes to find out he is he's the manager of the Texas Roadhouse in my little hometown there in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Oh, sorry, Matt told me this one off the air. I assumed we were talking about that one. But good boss. He's sticking up for his employees already, right? Some things can happen. That's right. Some things can happen.
But good on you, Jason. And keep holding it down there.
Too much of a trend, though.
Shreveport-Bossier City that exists.
You've probably been to that one, right?
Because they have. I don't know if it was there when I was there. So I graduated high school and then I was gone. I went back one time for a wedding. So I haven't literally not been back to my hometown except for one time.
Yeah, you just grabbed a stick out of the woods, threw a bandana around it, threw all your stuff in there, and Matt Brown was hitting the road.
Gone, get on. That was just all there was to it. I just started walking like Greg.
Grabbed a deck of cards and started running like Greg.
By the way, if you guys are just joining us, Greg, 12 miles for 3,000 straight days, and we just looked. That is the circumference of the Earth plus 11,000 miles. So he's basically been a time and a half around Earth.
Yeah.
Like, think about that.
And it's crazy. He lives 6 miles away from the Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, so the 12-mile thing works then?
Oh, like, perfectly.
Perfectly. Okay. So everybody out there, we're going to get creative, but you guys also get creative because Greg runs 12 miles every day. Now
tweeting
he's taking
your ideas.
Yeah, he's taking suggestions on what to do. He lives exactly 6 miles from the Texas Roadhouse. How about he runs to Texas Roadhouse, then he has to eat a half dozen rolls, and then he has to run back?
See, I think the rolls are amazing. I think you're being a little mean. I think he's got to go, well, what's meaner? That many rolls? What's more mean? Meaner? Whatever. Burke will be out here next.
Ooh.
Or order an entire entree. I want to see him eat it out of the white styrofoam box running home.
These are all good. So now we're sparking.
Especially since we're talking a steak. Corn on the cob. How you doing that out of the box?
He could run to Texas Roadhouse, pick up a six pack of rolls, and then he has to eat one roll every mile on the way home.
He can do that no problem.
You think the six rolls is no big deal?
Yeah, I don't think six is a big deal. I think you're
we're gonna get some good ideas.
The 12 to every mile, yeah, I think it's a problem.
We're gonna get some good ideas out of some people. I have a really good feeling that we're gonna get some creative ideas that are gonna be coming out of people. All right, guys, 20 leagues, one mission, just win bets, baby. Your premier source for daily sports betting picks. Break down the data so you don't have to. You can scan the QR code if you're watching on one of our platforms that has video, or you can visit justwinbetsbaby.com today. Start betting smarter with Just Win Bets, baby. The name says it all. We were kind of putting a bow here on the AFC West, and both of us said I think we would bet the Broncos, and I don't think that that's even a crazy I don't think that that's even really a crazy take. Whenever you do look what they're returning on the defensive side, what they have on the offensive side, the addition there of Waddle, I do believe that that is all things that are very, very big when it comes to that division specifically. We don't know exactly. I assume Patrick Mahomes will be Patrick Mahomes. But I've made some assumptions that have got me in trouble plenty of times.
Real quick with that, though, because I do think this is something that I'm getting closer to. I don't know if there's a play to be made, but, like, the top of the MVP board, you have some quarterbacks where, okay, Mahomes, I think at least fair to question where exactly he's at health-wise entering the season. And maybe it's nothing, but I think it's something you should be aware of. As high as I am on Josh Allen, it is like the passing numbers continuing to go down year after year and them lean more into the run. Like, I think that's something you have to take into account. So whether it's by scheme, injury, I do think we like to say it's a crowded top of the MVP board, but I think there's starting to see ways where you can see a clearer path for others.
Yeah. I mean, I look at Mahomes and unless it is a absolute complete disaster of a season because the league loves him so much and everybody loves him so much or whatever, I think they can already like engrave the P on the Comeback Player of the Year award.
I completely agree. I did hear an interesting counter to this argument recently. Is the Comeback Player of the Year too insulting of an award to give to Patrick Mahomes?
I mean, they gave it to Joe Burrow.
I know. And that would be my comeback too. I don't think it is. I think it's an interesting question though.
Yeah. I mean, I think the recognition for coming back from a major injury probably is not insulting to him. You know, I mean, like, it's the recognition that you put in the hard work to come back off of a serious injury.
If he wins MVP, is he winning comeback player of the year?
No. Then they're going to give it to someone else.
Yeah. I think
so. Then they're going
to
give it to someone else.
There's enough candidates too.
Yeah, they're going to give it to someone else. Yeah, because you got Jaden Daniels at quarterback. You got Kyler Murray at quarterback. Like, you know, these are two other quarterbacks that could win that award. So I think that's, you know, if Daniel Jones makes it back, I don't know if he will or not. Mm-hmm. Like, he's another quarterback that could possibly win this thing. So I do believe that that's, you know, pretty easy to give it to one of the quarterbacks out there. By the way, bringing up Kyler Murray here, there's no way he doesn't start.
Oh my God, that's another.
For Minnesota,
you're right. That is another fascinating storyline that's continued here longer than I thought it was going to. What are they waiting for to declare Kyler the starter?
Right. Why are they trying to make this a position battle?
I don't really know.
I mean, Kyler Murray, to be fair to Kyler Murray, he is moving into a much better situation now than he ever had in Arizona. And you can sit there and you can like roll your eyes and say, you know, he makes dumb plays and he does whatever. And like, okay, fair. But I tell you what.
And he's tiny, which is fair.
You're throwing to Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and they signed Juwan Jennings. So like your three wide receivers, way better of a situation than he ever had in Arizona. Kevin O'Connell has proven that he can do things with quarterbacks. He has never had a mobile quarterback either. So who knows what he might be able to do with Kyler Murray? Like, who knows what kind of crazy scheme? Like, I'm not willing to just close the door on Kyler Murray, especially considering what we've seen out of the last couple of seasons out of some of these dudes that were in horrible situations that go into good situations and find ways to make it work.
Dude, I'm right
no there further with than Sam Darnold. I mean, look, no further than Sam Darnold.
I'm right there with you. I mean, I've always been higher on Kyler, I think, than I don't want to say than most, than appropriate.
Yeah, right.
I've been higher, too high on him in the past. I mean, look, he has had some healthy seasons where he's put up big time production. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's crazy at all with everything you just laid out that he makes a major impact in Minnesota. I mean, that coaching staff, that group of weapons that they have, NFC North. We're talking about the AFC West. At least there's one bad team. I don't know that there's a single bad team in the NFC North.
Yeah, I mean, he's 5-1 comeback, but he's like 60 or 70 for MVP. And I understand that that's like it's a pretty far stretch. But if he wins that gig and in that division in which there are some trendy teams, he's able to win that division or whatever. His name's at least going to be in the mix, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about how you can like buy and sell off of positions, at least on position market and in prediction markets and stuff or whatever. Like those, the long-term real value with these prediction markets is getting long shot futures tickets and then being able to monetize those futures tickets much easier than you can in other places. You know?
Yeah, man. It feels like with this has been kind of a similar case the past couple years, but it does feel very difficult. You know, it's an award I love to bet. I love to get angry over. Comeback player of the year. I mean, how is it not Mahomes, Jaden Daniels, Kyler Murray, and maybe a, 5% chance Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
But like, you got four quarterbacks.
I would bet on those versus the field for like,
me too.
More than I would lay, you would ever think that a person would lay. But like, yes, because they want to give it to a quarterback. And the thought of all four of those guys flopping is just insane with that. I did have another baseball game we can talk about real quick. Orioles at the Tigers. This is Kyle Bradish going up against Keeter Montero. I'm playing the under 4.5 on the first five. That's going to cost you about -115. But if you look of late, both of these guys, Kyle Bradish and Keeter Montero, are really, really dealing. Over the last five starts for Keeter Montero, it is a 2.20 ERA that is backed up by a 2.39 expected, a sub-1 whip, and nearly a 30% K rate. Kyle Bradish, over his last five starts, a 2.23 ERA backed up by a 2.83 expected, a sub-1 whip. Now, he doesn't strike out the amount of guys that Montero does, but has been inducing a lot of weak contact, and That's kind of what I'm looking for here with two light hitting teams in the Orioles and the Tigers as well. So under first five, 4.5 there in the Orioles and the Tigers.
Hey, another game seven for those Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Another game seven. And seriously, real quick before we wrap it up, AFC West bets. Have you made any in that division? I haven't made a single one.
I did bet the Broncos.
Broncos win the division? Okay.
I did bet the Broncos to win the division. It is a, like you said, the defense makes that team have a very solid floor.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as Bo Nix is fine from this injury and you add those weapons, whatever, I actually like them the best out of those three teams.
Me too.
Pretty easily. Joining us here in studio when we come back, our very own Adam Burke, baseball, football, and beyond.